Is my internet okay?
Connects. Okay, yes.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Thank you for that. Okay, so I am going to do a roll call. It is almost 3:40. Okay, roll call, Commissioner Stipo.
I'm here.
Commissioner Robin McArdle.
Here.
Commissioner Manon Getzey.
Here.
Commissioner Asu Namrete Valera.
Here.
Here. Thank you. Okay, members and staff, we have a quorum and we may proceed with the meeting.
Okay, am I supposed to run it?
Yes, do the...
Okay.
Call to the...
Let's see, you've already done the roll call. Approval of the minutes is next from May the 25th. If you can remember that far back, or if you've read the minutes in the last few days, does anybody have any additions or corrections to those minutes? I do not hear anybody. Greg or somebody watching, do we have any hands that went up?
No,
we do not.
No. Okay. Then it would be appropriate to have a motion to approve the minutes.
I approve.
Do we have a second?
Robin.
Robin is the second. Okay. Thank you very much, ladies. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oops. We got feedback again. Okay, call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations pursuant to the Arizona Open Meetings Law. Individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Diana, do we have anyone who has emailed or called you and wants to speak?
We do not.
We do not. Okay, very good. All right, then let's go to item number 4, which is fees and changes. And who is taking this one?
That would be me.
Go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Bear with me 1 minute. Why is it not working? All right, let me try it this way.
Aha!
Okay, you can see something?
Yes, it says Parks and Recreation, new fees.
Okay. All right, so... I'm going to talk you through something that we've done. We've already talked, we've done meetings with each of the ward offices, and there was a discussion item at study session yesterday. This is just proposals. This is not anything that has been approved. There has been no formal notice of intent to increase fees, but being that you are our commission, and we actually have quorum, we want to take advantage of this meeting to at least introduce you to what is being proposed, and to help you with the timeline. There is going to be a discussion item on the 18th of October for mayor and council to decide if they approve for us to go to a notice of intent, and a notice of intent would allow us to then put the public on notice of a possible fee change, do public engagement around the proposed fee changes, and then there would be a certain point that another meeting would be held with mayor and council to approve what fees proceed. What I would be plan on doing is all the materials from that October 18th meeting, providing to you all before our October meeting so that we can revisit and get your feedback on what's being proposed. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I will try and do this as quickly as possible. Sometimes I do it really well, and other times I fumble a little, but essentially we're looking at some new fees. The pandemic was an interesting experience in that we recognize that we had some small businesses that were approaching the department and asked if they could use open spaces to run recreation-based programming, but we really don't have a fee mechanism in place or a permit mechanism in place that facilitated that kind of use. Credit to Donnie, Ileana, and Glenna, who have collaborated on coming up with language and working with the legal department, our city attorney's office, and have developed a mechanism. So now we need mayor and council approval. But to give you an example, you'll see on the screen in front of you, we have goat yoga ongoing in a park. But goat yoga is a program that's being offered by a small business, a female owned business, where she charges individuals to do the goat yoga class. And we've kind of eked out a pilot program with her, but that's just one example of something that could be a commercial use in a park. A second one could be, say, we want to partner with someone who wants to do nature tours and charge for those who participate in a nature tour. We could also explore that. And we're trying to provide the flexibility. So up to $30 a day, up to $200 a month, or $500 per quarter if it ends up being a good collaboration and a purpose that is a benefit. How this helps the Parks Department is this could be a way for us to provide recreation activities that we don't have the resources to do ourselves. So that's one of the new fees that we are proposing. The second new fee that we're proposing is around the use of sports fields by youth sports organizations. The current allocation process does not have a fee attached. And we allocate based on the number of kids that are reported to be registered in the program. And this is addressing some of the complaints that the commission has heard in the past about smaller user group of sports groups who want to get field access but can't. And then the other complaint that we get is that you drive by some of the sports fields and no one's playing, but yet they are reserved. So there's no motivation for any of these entities to release fields because they're not paying to use them. So we're not trying to put a lot of hardship on them. It's the idea of a dollar an hour for the fields that they are allowed to reserve. And obviously, if they don't actually use it and they release it in the time frame that we dictate to release it, then we can then hopefully expand upon other youth sports groups to have access to the fields. And I do want to point out, this is also a program that the Pima County Parks Department is also moving towards. They are in a similar situation as us. And so we're hoping by doing this together, we're going to be able to make some progress in terms of expanding access to fields. Historically, our light fee for renting a field and then lighting it up has been $6 for every 2 hours. We all know that the cost of energy and to light things has gone up over the years. The county does charge per hour, and so we are going to embrace that same kind of fee mechanism. They actually charge $9 an hour. We're offering to charge $8 an hour. But again, this puts us consistent in the charging scale of what Pima County does. So it shouldn't be too foreign or different for our normal renters. Our Ramada reservations have pretty much been where a small, medium, and large Ramada historically have been the same cost to rent them. And that doesn't make sense. We are proposing a more scaled up version. So a small Ramada could be $10. An extra large Ramada can be $125. It provides a bit more of a proper tiered scale for pricing for the rental. I don't know if you all are aware, but some Ramadas actually offer plug-in features. You can power a stereo while you're there. We pressure washer them. We do get them ready. And so there is some maintenance involved in getting them ready. So one, it's a fee adjustment to better price them according to use, and two, to help with some of the maintenance costs associated with them. So in addition to the new fees, we're also proposing to do a new discount program. The current discount program is on a historical living wage format. And what we want to do is adopt the federal poverty. Oh my gosh, every time I look at this, federal poverty guidelines, which is the same guidelines that Tucson Water and EGSD are using. But by also embracing that, we're anticipating we're going to see a significant increase on folks that are going to qualify for the discount. In the next slide, I'm going to show you how the discount currently plays out. But the maximum discount that anybody can get, regardless of income, is 50% off of KIDCO after school and KIDCO summer, and a 25% discount off of our facility access passes. So the reason why you see leisure classes here on the screen is because we want to, number one, kind of adopt a different calculation formula on how we price out our leisure classes. We don't anticipate any fee increases, but what we are asking to do is apply the discount program to it, which then would, we're hoping, maximize or expand the accessibility to, say, a fitness class, an art class, a kids tumble class, hip hop dance aerobics class, because without a discount being available, we recognize that we might not be very equitable in terms of accessing recreation programs that we offer. And then the discount program would be eligible for our tween summer program. I just put tween because I think a lot of people identify with that. We actually call it the in-betweeners. And it's a program that started somewhere around 2005, 2007, and kind of iterated into different formats until finally after 2010, it landed in our rec centers and has been a successful program in terms of meeting the need of offering services for those in that tween age group. The issue is that when we rolled it out, it was originally $75 for 8 weeks. 8 weeks into $75, I mean, you're practically not paying for any sort of camp service there. And so we looked at what the market will bear. A lot of summer camps start at $199 and up. It's pretty crazy a week, I should point out. So we're recommending to make the in-betweeners program $375 for 8 weeks, but it would be eligible for our discount program. So someone who qualifies could get a 90%, 80%, or 70% discount off of that cost. We do see that there still maintains a significant value. We're still the lowest offer within the Pima County area, but it would allow us to right size the pricing to the program and what we're offering. Currently, our neighborhood centers have an admission. I believe it's $1 to come in. What we're proposing is to remove that fee, trying to take away, again, some of that barrier that might prevent kids or adults from accessing our neighborhood centers. When I send out the packet, I will be including the list of what those neighborhood centers are. During the pandemic, we did do free access to pool admissions, and that has stayed in place, that we will not be going back to admission fees for pools. And so in similar fashion, we're proposing to put the neighborhood center fees in that same realm of free access. And then finally, KIDCO, we have KIDCO after school and KIDCO summer. The current rate for KIDCO after school, which the slide is incorrect, it's actually $70 per month. We actually have just partnered up with TUSD. TUSD is funding any of the children that are in their program. They're paying the cost of our after-school program, which is an awesome thing. But I just put that out there because I think it should be realized that some of the fee increases that we're proposing, at least for the after school program, are not going to be realized by our parents for 1 to 2 years. But the $70 per month program would be eligible for discount. Again, 90%, 80%, or 70%, depending on what eligibility they meet. And still significantly cheaper than anything else available within Pima County. And through the research that I've done, we're the only entity that offers a discount program for after school. And then the second is our 8-week summer program. Currently, it's $250 for 8 weeks, and we're proposing to move it to $500 for 8 weeks. Again, this would be eligible for the discount program. And so if someone qualified for 90% off, they would only pay $50 for 8 weeks. Or if they... Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a minute there. Or if they were deemed eligible for the 70% discount, then they would only pay $150 for the 8 weeks. And when you calculate that out, it still keeps us very, very much affordable and well below any competition. Just to give you all an idea, Marana doesn't offer a summer camp program. Oro Valley only does one small session. I think they have a maximum of 60 kids. Pima County does have a summer camp program, but they only do it 4 days a week. And then everything else that I have found that's private does tend to be in that similar price range of $199 a week and up. Some of them up to almost $400 a week. So it still keeps us as a provider in a very affordable setting. So the last slide, the next slide that I'm going to show you or just share with you is it just kind of shows you what I was just talking about. Kidco currently only has a 50% discount. That's the maximum. So our new discount program will realign for youth programming 90, 80, and 70%. So how does that translate? So those who are getting a discount and currently paying $25 a month would instead be paying $7, $14, or $21. And that's, you know, that's for an entire month of after school program. The current summer program, which is 8 weeks long, they're currently the maximum discount that they can get is to allow them to only pay $125. In this particular case, the ones who benefit the most from the new discount program would be those that fall under 125% and 150%, which is 50, 100, and then those at 175% of the federal poverty level would pay 150. And that's for 8 weeks of service. And then again, currently the discount program only applies to our access passes to our recreation centers. That's where you find your walking tracks and your weight rooms. So the proposed discount would then apply to our leisure classes, as well as the passes. And it would be based on income at 70%, 60%, or 50%. So I know it's a lot to take, and that's why it was, this is pretty much exactly what each of the council members and mayor has seen in our briefings and the slideshow. Hold on, you all disappeared. There we are. Sorry. And basically, like I said, this is an introduction. The materials that we provide to you for the October meeting will have everything for you. Current pricing, new pricing, and additional details and support information. Any questions?
Robin has a question. Yeah. Robin?
Oh, good. Sure. At least you can see my hand up. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you for having the charts with what that would look like, the proposed discount program. I wanted to ask a couple questions. With the first one that you mentioned, groups that are utilizing the parks, use goat yoga as an example, and they're charging the people that are in the class. If you have programs that are in your park and they are not charging, will they still be charged?
So that's a good, I'm going to ask Donnie how we handle entities right now that do free programs in our parks, because I'm not as well versed on that.
So no, we wouldn't look at charging that, but we would want to capture a permit so we would know that they're there. And that way, when our park rangers are back in place, that they're able to say, okay, we know that there's a basket weaving class, you know, under the tree at Palo Verde Park every Thursday night. So we want to be able to capture those. We also had worked in a nonprofit rate. So recognizing, you know, maybe some of the constraints they may have with some of our fees.
Oh, okay.
So how much do they park permit?
So a Ramada permit is $25 right now. But
right. So that's,
yes.
But so they're having free programs, then they would have to get a park permit, which is a Ramada permit?
No, it would be a commercial permit. Yeah, that's part of our problem. We don't have a way to capture those places that are just popping up, you know, near a tree. This way we could talk about what they can and can't bring, what they can use. This way they can have a little bit more consistency, because they'll have that spot reserved for a specific amount of time. So everybody will know, like, yeah, I can go get Tai Chi at the, you know, seventh palm tree at Reed.
Right, right. Okay, so that will be interesting to watch. Thank you for that information. And then, let's see. The TWEAM programs, when you provide the information, when we look at this again, after you speak with Mayor and Council, or maybe to Mayor and Council, can you provide where those programs are and what the participation numbers are?
Sure.
I wonder what kind of impact that will have. I love that you're removing the dollar fee for the neighborhood centers. I hope that really encourages people to come in. And it looks good. I know there's a lot of work, so thank you for that.
Other questions? Anybody else have any questions for Laura?
I've got
or Dawn?
Yeah,
Manon has her question out.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I was just curious. I was really happy to hear the pools were going to stay free for use. Mm-hmm. That was correct. I heard that right. That's great.
Yes.
Does that also apply to Edith Ball and their classes and things?
So some of the programs at Edith Ball, because they're therapeutic or specialized, will have a fee. But what the mayor and council were focused on was the general admission. So they didn't want to prohibit a family from being able on a hot summer day to be able to come in and enjoy a pool.
Okay. And that goes for lap swimmers as well, just everybody.
Yes.
Great. Great to hear. Thank you.
Any other questions of Laura or Donnie or anybody else that's involved? All right. Thank you, Laura. Oh, who was that?
I think it's,
this is Becky. Yeah. This is Becky.
Hey, Becky. So actually the commission aren't aware yet, but Becky is going to be our newest member. She, I think yesterday, we were advised yesterday that she was going to be appointed, but she's not officially on the commission until she gets sworn in. But Becky, go ahead.
Okay.
The courtesy of asking a question.
Oh, thank you. I guess I would be a public member right now then. So the fees would then cover the cost of parks people. I mean, that's basically why you're raising fees, is so that you can cover the cost of building, lighting, and maintenance people.
I would love to say that the fee is 100% return a coverage of our expenses, but unfortunately that's not the case. Even with the proposals of what we have, the city does significantly subsidize programmatic delivery. Leisure classes is the only one, I believe, by code is required to recoup direct costs.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much for your question, Becky. Anybody else have any questions before we go on to the next item? All right, hearing none, let me take a quick look and see what the next item is. It is the Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission Awards. Who's going to take this?
I think, Diana, you want me to talk it through? Okay, so this is one that had started at the beginning of this year. And so we wanted to talk through a couple things. First of all, the certificates need to be signed. Typically, they would be signed by the chair. I know Mr. Pope, when we lost our chair and vice chair, you graciously stepped up to assist us in kind of acting in the lead role. So we wanted to see what you all wanted to do in terms of who to sign. And then I would suspect that somewhere around November, we'd be able to get it on a mayor and council for presentation. But do we want the entire commission to be there for the photos, like just to talk through those details so that we can tie it up, because we're almost at the point ready to launch again. So we need to we just need to get caught up on the awards.
Right. So when are you looking at presenting them?
I'm just safely estimating that we would request to place them to be presented at November. Of course, we're not in charge of the calendar. We would have to see what the mayor's office response is. But to allocate enough time, and we, Diana was telling me she thinks we have almost 25 certificates. No. We would work that out as well. My idea is perhaps we call everybody up and do a giant group photo, and then we could do individual photos to the side, because we don't want to hold up mayor and council meeting. But you guys let us know. I mean, if you would rather postpone it to a better time, let us, you know, it's your awards.
Okay, as far as who signs them, I'm not worried about who signs them. I don't care if you need me to come in, and once I get back to town, fine. If you have somebody else that you prefer to have sign them, that's okay with me. I don't think those folks really need my signature. So it's up to the rest of you. If somebody wants to, you know, stick their toe in the water and be responsible for signing them, that's perfectly acceptable to me. As far as the timing goes, I think, you know, November is great, especially, I don't know if that's possible because you're not in charge of the scheduling, but if possible, the earlier part of November, simply because of holidays and things like that. Anybody else want to react?
Could someone tell me the dates of meetings that might be happening in November? I don't have that in front of me.
I have that information. So it'll be November 8th and the 22nd.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. I mean, I certainly don't mind signing. I think it should be a commissioner that actually voted on it for sure.
Okay. I think the 8th would be, this is Robin. And the sooner the better. We sure have been waiting for this, and I'm glad that it will be done in person at a meeting. So I would certainly recommend November 8th, and the signature is whoever would like to do that, that's fine with me.
Anybody else want to chime in? All right, then, Diana, Laura, if you could do your best to try to get it on the agenda for the November 8th meeting, that way it may actually happen before we start the next process.
Right.
Okay. And then when we come down to that time period, call whatever time you have to have somebody sign the certificates. Call us and see who's the most likely to be available and go from there.
Okay. And I can coordinate with whoever and get the signature. We can always do it digitally too and do it that way maybe. So yeah, I can help out with that too. So.
All right. Great. All right. Anything else on that topic?
No, the only thing I do want to say is sometimes in November they decide to consolidate the meetings, so we will just go with the flow. Okay. We'll make a request and then we'll take their direction on where they decide to place it. Okay.
Okay. I guess you just do the best you can in that situation. All right. Anybody else?
We will.
Anybody else have anything on this topic? Then let's go on to the next item, which is the Cushing Street Skate Park Feasibility Study. Whose is that one?
Mr. Chairman, I think this is mine, Greg Jackson. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. This afternoon, we're going to present the Cushing Street Skate Park. Actually, it's a master plan and feasibility study. We're not going to go through the whole feasibility study, but we will email that to you afterwards. We have Laura Mulcarrick and Jenny Moscato with Wheat Design on the meeting, and I think they are going to talk through the process we went through and share the plan. So Laura, Jenny, who's stealing the screen?
That's going to be me. This is Jenny. I'll share my screen. And sorry, my camera is not working, so I'll just talk to you from a black screen. I won't go through the whole report like Greg said, but I do want to navigate to one page that I think will be a good point of reference for everyone, and that's just on page 2, so close to the beginning of the feasibility study. Here's just a graphic that you can look at as I talk to you about the process that we went through. And everyone can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So Wheat Design Group started this process with Parks and Recreation and Grindline Skate Parks back in February. That's when we had our stakeholder kickoff meeting. And at that time, we started collecting information from our main stakeholders and planning the design phase and public outreach phases of the project. In the study, when you receive it, you'll see a timeline that we've also created for the project. So that gives a little more detail as to the steps we went through. But just generally speaking, we began our research phase that was from February to April or May when we had our stakeholder meetings, and then public outreach meetings. Parks and Rec created a survey for everyone to take. There were over 700 responses and thousands of write-in comments about what people wanted to see in this future skate park. Perhaps I should actually go to a little site map just to give you context for where this is in case people aren't familiar. So the Cushing Street Bridge is between the Menlo Park neighborhood and downtown. And it's been some years now that the skateboarding community has been pursuing having a skate park here. And they brought this up to Mayor and Council back in, I believe, 2018. And they were supportive of this, Mayor and Council was. And so this public process really began in earnest this year. We had multiple public meetings. And at those, we collected information and feedback on the concept designs that Wheat Design Group and Grindline created. Let me go to those. I'll stop sharing for 1 minute.
Well, she's changing. Just a point of clarification. This proposed skate park is actually underneath I-10 on Cushing Street. So it's actually proposed underneath the interstate.
Right. So, I don't know if it's appropriate just to skip ahead to the final concept plan. After we received feedback on the original concept plan, generally the public really liked the layout of the skate park. So most of the features remain the same in the original concept to the final concept plan. And as Greg said, this is underneath the bridge. So the wall of the bridge is on this top side, the north side of the skate park, and then Cushing Street runs along the south side. So I think it's most helpful, unless you're well-versed in skateboarding language, just to look at images that Grindline Skate Park created, 3D graphics of what the skate park would look like. So you get kind of a sense of how it's laid out from like a bird's eye view. The report has hyperlinks to all the survey results that we received throughout this process. And you can go and read those. There, like I said, are thousands. So we couldn't fit them all into the report, but we have really nice analysis of the surveys graphically in the report. And you can find that actually on Parks and Rec's website as well. So those are really helpful to look through and were great for us as we were finalizing the design of the skate park. So here's just a plan view of the skate park, giving you an idea of just this park is full of really cool features, a really diverse range of elements, what is called transitional skating and street skating. So Grindline got feedback from the people that attended the public meetings and Tucson Skate Park Alliance, who is a well-known nonprofit in town that does a lot of community outreach and advocacy for skate parks and skateboarders in Tucson. So Grindline Skate Parks really melded the transitional skating and street skating elements together to make them work in this linear space. And I don't know if we should just go to questions or if there's something else specific about the feasibility report I should speak to.
Jenny, did you get the final cost estimate on what it'd be to build this out?
It was just over $1 million. I think it was 1.2. And I can go to the exact page in the feasibility study real quick.
And Mayor and Council approved, I believe, $500,000 so far for the initial planning element and the feasibility study. And then we will look at building this skate park in phases based on funding availability.
Yes. So here we divided the cost into two parts. Grindline Skate Parks took the skatable area of the park, and then Wheat Design Group came up with the estimate for the surrounding area and different amenities. So yeah, just about 1.3. Is needed for the construction. And I wasn't aware at the time that we did this study how much is left from the original budget, Greg, but maybe that's something that we should put into this at some point.
Yep.
Okay.
Open it up for questions.
Okay. Robin had her hand up. Robin, was that for the last one or for this one?
No. Mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay, good. Is there a consideration of private sponsorship? Or is this all, you have the City of Tucson for all the funding?
I think.
Yeah, certainly if there's a sponsorship out there, we would certainly consider that.
They already are raising funds for the skate park through the foundation.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Right. Through the foundation, I think also the Tucson Skate Park Alliance.
Yes.
Might be too.
Okay. This is very exciting. It's great to see a plan. Is there a public art component?
There is, yeah. We didn't specify that, but brainstormed with people who attended the public meetings what type of art they'd like to see. The wall of the bridge is a great opportunity for a mural. There's also more artistic skateable objects already in the park. You could call them, I would call them artistic, the saguaro. There's a small saguaro pole jam here in the park too. But yeah, I think there's walls that definitely could be taken advantage of for different artistic elements.
Great, very exciting, thank you.
Other questions? All right, Greg, unless you have something else, I think this was not an action item, am I correct?
We will want you to eventually approve the master plan, but I know I did not send it out to you in advance, so we can send you all the information details and put it on the next meeting for formal approval.
Very good. All right.
And Sierra shared, Sierra just shared in the chat the link to the parks donations, Tucson Park donation.
Okay. And
great.
Soon as somebody can explain to me where the chat is, I will look at it. All right. Very good. Let us, if that's appropriate, let's go on to the next item, which is the city clerk's presentation of OML and ground rules. Whose line is that?
I can speak on that. It's just kind of FYI. We reached out to the city clerk's office to see when they could be available to do a presentation on just the general ground rules and such. And they are available next month if you all are good with that.
Well, hopefully I would like to make sure that Becky is on before we confirm that because it would be kind of silly to have to do it again after that. So would you please coordinate that?
Okay. Yes, definitely. Thank you for that.
All right. Very good. Let me see what is next. Reports and announcements from the Parks and Recreation Commissioners. Anybody have any reports or announcements?
I just want to say I was at the Sugar Hill Coalition presentation to recognize Rose Talton over the weekend, and it was very well done and so well deserved by Rose, who's been working in that community. We were talking, and we went back to like 1992. So she's been really. It was great to see her recognized and great to see the work that the Sugar Hill Coalition is doing. And Ward 5 did an excellent job collaborating with them on that. And I wanted to report on that. And congratulations to Rose.
Anyone else? I have one request. Oh, there's Manon. Go ahead, Manon.
I just thought it would be a good idea to do a shout out to the Mayor's Trees of Tucson Fest in Reed Park on October 15th. That's happening from 9 to 1 p.m. and that should be very interesting. There's going to be a lot of vendors from what I can see.
Very good. Anybody else? I have one request. I'm not sure whether it's appropriate now, but I'll ask the question and then we can put it where it needs to be. I have received some information from the Rio Vista group that there is a potential dog park going in. Before we put that on an agenda and discuss it, I would like to have the staff give us an update on what the alternative sites that are currently available or under consideration for the dog park part of that. And so that's the only thing I'm requesting is where else can people take their dogs to a dog park in that general area of town? Anyone else from the commission?
I wanted to say that just reading over the reports from staff, it is really good to see. I really appreciate that the hours of operation are listed on there, and it just makes it so apparent that and exciting that things are really opening up. And to see those numbers that are increasing as far as participation, and it was really, really exciting to look those over this month, because definitely coming back, the public's coming back, and programs and services, so that's definitely appreciated.
And we also need to let them know that not only the reports but the pictures are also appreciated, so we can see what's going on. Absolutely,
good point.
Okay, anyone else on the commission have a point to make? Then let's go on to the reports from the staff.
We'll jump in real quick and do the capital. I know you all received the full reports for all the awards. Those are in your packet. So if you have any specific questions on any of those, feel free to ask. Also want to let everybody know we did the Reed Park Reimagined Open House on September 10th here at Reed Park. I would say easily 300 people here at the event, very well attended. We also have the survey available online, so we would encourage you to take the survey. Maybe Sierra, you can drop the link in the chat. You're pretty good at that. The survey is open until September 30th, so you've got like two more days to give us your direct feedback on the survey, and then we'll bring more information back to the commission and the community probably November.
Thank you very much, Greg. Anybody else on the staff besides the director?
I would just like to mention, hi, Steve, it's Donnie. I just wanted to mention that staff are busy working on some Halloween events. Sierra put in the chat our Boo Bash flyer that's coming up October 22nd in Ward 4 at Lincoln Park. The crew at Quincy Douglas is working on their annual Halloween event that is also on October 15th at the center, which is in Ward 5. And then Santino and his crew at Santa Rosa have their neighborhood event. And I don't have a date for that one, actually, but they're working on that one also. And that one is also in Ward 5, but way west. So Robin, we're back. It's crazy. Right on, it's crazy. We're all out of practice, so we're getting back into the swing of things. We're shaking right off the rust.
Really, very good. Thank you, Donnie.
You're welcome.
All right.
I'll just jump in for Parks Maintenance for 1 second. We do have a since we've last met, and Mr. Poe, I know you know, we do have a contract in place. We also have a landscape contract in place. So those two things have happened. Currently, we're working, half of our staff, or just under half of our staff, will be moving to Allen Hall as the expansion of the zoo starts to happen. And we'll be, a large part of our staff will be moving out of the compound in the next 30 days. We were fortunate enough to get the Allen Hall as a landing site for our trades group and our aquatics team, as well as our irrigation team. Allen Hall is located on 1710 East Silver Lake. It's actually just southwest of the Cherry Bell post office, if you're familiar with that.
Okay.
Between the post office and Silver Lake Park in there. So that's going on. The ball field crews have been working for 7 months now. I think we've made a lot of progress. We had some bumps in the road, but I think we've made a lot of progress with that team. We were fortunate enough with Mayor and Council in the new upcoming budget. We're going to be going back to what we used to call the B-shift. And basically, that's we're going to have two teams of four going out into our parks in the evenings. And they'll be at mostly our busiest parks in sporting events, soccer, Little League, different things going on in our parks. We can keep the restrooms clean, keep them stocked, and just have a presence in the park. So that will be starting here in the next 30 days. The other good news is actually parks related, but we are receiving eight new park safety officers from TPD. They've done a hiring and they've done a training process. And so the hope is that by the end of this month, October, that we will have a team of 8 to 10 park safety officers. Currently we're down to 2. So that certainly helps us with safety in the park. It helps us with locking restrooms and gates and the different parks. So, and it's have a presence. So we'll have a presence in the evening with our parks maintenance staff as well as the safety officers. So that's really good stuff. We did get some funding, additional funding. We're going to be upgrading all of our pools. We've with the with the help of Greg's team, and we're actually replacing the filters on 3 additional pools over the next year. We'll be doing the deck and tile for 3 other pools, additional pools, besides what the bond is already covering. So that's really good news. We'll get the bathhouses painted and cleaned up with the new pool supervisors that we have. The intent is to have all 20 pools open next year. It's a tall task because the hiring shortage, but I think Lara and the aquatics team, and we've all kind of put a program in place that we're actually hiring month starting now. And so we're hoping to build the aquatics team so that when we get going next summer, it's all fully staffed. And last thing, the Mexican Baseball Fiesta is happening currently at the Annex Fields here at Reed Park. That's a group, our team is from Hermosillo, and they play in 3 different tournaments throughout the West Coast. I think one's in Phoenix, one's in Vegas, and one's here. So they're here 3 weeks. They're gone on the weekend to play in the tournament, and then they come back for practice. So Annex Fields got a lot going on, minor league clubhouse. The U of A is in their fall ball. So that's what we've got going on that I can think of off the top of my head. But everybody's staying busy, and the rain was helpful, but it wasn't enough.
Hey, Mike, I do have a question, and then I'll get to see if anybody else has a question. But you mentioned the park safety officers are down to 2. How many did we have, and how did we lose so many?
It's just they promoted. I mean, Donnie can help me answer this, but my understanding is that we lost a couple with promotions to other parts of the city, not necessarily the city of Tucson. But then some do become commissioned officers, and that's the whole intent of the program. And we do share, and they are also, most of them like to sign up for the street work where they're directing traffic and stuff. They're community officers as well. So, but initially we were to have 10, and help me, Donnie, I think we only got 8 at our max, correct? And then the intent is to back to 10.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
So all right. I think it was a great program, especially when we had our second B shift going with the community service officers before the COVID hit. it worked out very good, and we're looking forward to getting back to that.
Hope so. Yes. Two just sounds like a pretty minuscule number. And so I'm happy to hear about the others. Thank you. Anybody else have a question of Mike? All right. Not seeing anything or hearing anyone. I believe it's back to Laura. Laura?
Great. So I want to start off and brag a little bit about our team. I mean, we do tons of good stuff all the time. But I just put in the chat a photo of Aaron, myself, and Donnie. We were selected to present at the National Parks and Recreation Association conference, which was in Phoenix last week, about the Ready, Set, Rec program. Donnie and Aaron did an amazing job, tons of facts and guidelines for all the attendees on how they could start their own program. We got a lot of really good feedback from folks that handed business cards and said, please send me your handbook. Please tell me how you do this. Please tell me what you have in your van. So it was a really nice way to put Tucson on the map on a national level. So I would want to do a shout out to them for that. A few other things I wanted to let you all know. We did recently get notified of two grants from the Tohono O'odham Gaming Dollar Grant Program. We apply every year. Last year we got one, and so this year we were awarded $150,000 for Santa Rita Park towards the new Splash Playground that will be built there as part of the master plan. And we also, thanks to Ward 3, Councilmember Dahl wanted to apply for a shade structure over the pool or on the pool deck at Mansfield. And we got notified of being awarded that as well. So those are all really good news and good things, reinvestment in parks. So we're really happy about that. She has joined us today. I mentioned a little earlier. So Becky Quintero is going to be our new representative on behalf of Ward 5. We just got the email this week, so I know from there we will have the, she'll have to do the I think it's called the swearing in, or I can't remember the phrase of it, but with the clerk's office, so we look forward to her being officially a member for our October meeting. So that'll put us at 5 members, so that's great news, really excited. And along those lines, something that I recognize is that pretty much we are largely a lot of new members. I know we've requested for the clerk's office to come and go over kind of the board, the technical side, the legal side of the details of what the commission's purpose is. But I did want to put out there an idea that I had, which is perhaps we do, and we don't have to do it immediately. We can figure out when would be the right time, but sort of like a retreat where we could all get together. We could educate you all on the department itself. I think it would be really a nice opportunity to give you some background. You know, what do we have in amenities? What's our budget look like? Just kind of an education. So everybody is looking at things from the same aspect. You can get to know the staff a little better. We can get to know you. You can get to know each other. And then also use as an opportunity to look at like some long range, like for the next year, what are things that you would like us to bring? I know we do talk every meeting about future agenda items, but we could be a little more strategic perhaps in knowing what's coming up in the year. And also what your personal interests are when it comes to parks. So what you can think about it, I can work through Diana to reach out and see if there is an interest, and if there is, then what would be the right time for you? We did check with the clerk's office, and basically we would just public notice that we're going to do a retreat for the Tucson Parks and Rec Commission, and we'd be able to do something like that. So I think it would be a nice touch. And finally, the Parks Foundation, I wanted everybody to be aware, just in case you might know of anybody that be interested in getting involved with the Parks Foundation. They're not they're suffering from the same problem that we have, just a lack of membership. And with that, some of the energy and the drive to get certain projects off the ground has has suffered a bit. So the current chair of the foundation is looking for a new chair. She'd like to step aside, but they're also looking to add new membership. And we will be, I'll be meeting with them, I think it's next week or the week after, to talk about some recruitment ideas and ways to get out into the community, the awareness of the foundation. It's a great group. Their whole focus, their bylaws are surrounded around fundraising for actual benefit projects to be like source of improvements within parks. So I think it's an interesting opportunity for someone that is civic minded and wants to get involved. So I think those are, you got a lot of updates from all of us today. So, but that would conclude what I have.
Okay, questions for Lara? I have one, Lara, and that is, I had sent Diana an email earlier this week about a meal program that had been requested to be put on the agenda by one of the other board members the last time we met back in May. And she told me that it was going to be part of your report. Do you have that to tell us what it is?
I might be making, am I blanking on something, Diana? Oh, so with peace, is it about PCOA, Robin, that you wanted to find out more information? I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm sorry. What was the question there?
Mr. Poe was reminding us that you are interested in hearing more information about the PCOA program. Is that correct?
We definitely discussed that. It's been so long since our last meeting. But I am always interested in, and you know, I was thinking about it before today's meeting and looking at the numbers, and I know people are coming back, but probably a good time for some outreach. You know, people, the questions I always ask are senior programs still viable? And they're actually more viable than ever, as 10,000 boomers turn 65 still every day. So, and they are using centers, and it's just, so I don't remember, Steve, do you remember what specifically? I was thinking about something with Tony Estrada, and I don't remember, but if it comes to me, I will certainly ask for that to be put on the agenda.
Okay, I just remember reading in the minutes that you had requested the information, and so I asked whether that was part of today's presentation.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, I don't remember the specifics.
I will look for sure.
So, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Definitely,
Robin.
Let us know. We'd be happy to address that in October's meeting.
All right. Anybody else have any questions for Lara? All right. Hearing none, then the next item is commission future agenda items and the next meeting date. The next meeting date is October the 26th, which would be the last Wednesday of that month. It's the fourth Wednesday. Apparently, it's still going to be by virtual meeting by the Microsoft Teams process, unless we're informed otherwise. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed in that realm? Hearing no response, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn. I say, I will entertain. I believe I heard a motion to adjourn there.
Yes, I think I made one, but I mean, I don't know if you heard it or not because I'm having problems, obviously. So I did make a motion to adjourn. This is Robin.
Okay, thank you, Robin. Do we have a second?
Second. Thank you.
Okay, and there's a second I heard. Very good. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And thank you, our new ladies, Azul and Becky. Thank you for showing up. And Becky, we hope you get all your paperwork done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Everybody, have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you as well.